Dr. Disrespect apologizes, and more coming up on today's episode of Delays in Tech News. Hey Gadgeteer, you're just in time for the latest episode of the world's only 3-in-1 show on tech, gadgets, and gaming news. That's right, this is the latest in tech news. My name is Taylor Merrick, and if you're new here, hit that subscribe and follow button right now so that you don't miss out on the latest episodes, and wait till you get to a section of the show, at least if you're watching a video, until when you like it, then give it a like. Couple announcements right off the bat. Most likely will not be having a show on Wednesday and Thursday of this week, so in a couple of days' time, because it's, well, the 4th of July on Thursday, and at least here in the United States, it's a federal holiday, so we'll be off celebrating Independence Day for America and fireworks and parades and all that fun stuff, so that's what we'll be doing, so there won't be any show, but there will be a show Friday, there will be a show tomorrow. So, just want to get that out of the way, and hope you guys are having a good week so far. I know it just started, so you're probably like, well, why would you say that? It's just Monday, I don't even know how the week was supposed to go. Well, let me know how your week's going, and I'll let you know how my week's going. My week started off with me going back to work at my full-time job. This isn't my full-time job, by the way. I do this on the side, so you're welcome. And I got into some goofy conversations. I wonder half the time how I was supposed to survive at work, because I come back and, like, people are grilling me. So what'd you do on vacation? Were you like, did you do anything? And so I told him what I did, and I said, that's boring. So you sat in a house, read a book, and went to a small town and visited it for a day, and that was it? You didn't like go fishing, jump in a lake, you know, go swimming, go do a bunch of fun stuff? I'm like, no. What? I'm like, what a lame vacation you were on. I'm like, you're just saying it because you wasn't on vacation and sitting here working and whining away, and I wasn't, so I don't feel bad. Anyways, that's a story for another time, but yeah, so with that out of the way, well, let's move into a section of the show I think you'll actually like. All right, today in tech history, we always take a look back on what happened today in tech history, and today's quite a big day. Today is July 1st, 2019, and on this day, 40 years ago, in 1979, Sony first began to sell the TPS-L2, first known as the Soundabout, and soon, thank goodness, rechristened to the Walkman. This original Walkman wasn't the first portable tape player, but it was the first that didn't have a record function. Portable cassette recorders had mostly been used by reporters. This one, with its newly designed lightweight headphones, was specifically intended for music. And that is what's changed the world. That first edition of the Walkman weighed about a pound, and it cost about $200, according to the New York Times. It featured two headphone jacks and a button where the two people listening on headphones could talk to each other or sing along with each other on a microphone. This was basically the last time anyone worried about whether listening to music on headphones while out in the world would be a social experience. We now have 40 years of experience that prove otherwise, and it's kind of weird to think that in years before the Walkman, there was no way to listen to music privately while out in public. Prior to that, you had a boombox, or you had to open the windows in your house. So, yep. Like so many futuristic technologies of years past, the Walkman is now a relic and a little bit of a punchline. Children think it's ridiculous, but it left a stamp on our culture. That first version of the Walkman is the one that Star-Lord uses in the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, and promptly got squished in the second one. And he promptly killed his dad for it. And if you haven't seen Guardians of the Galaxy, you really should have. Spoiler alert, sorry, you're welcome. And did you know that it's selling for a lot more money online now? If you can find it for $200, that is a deal. Indeed. So, congratulations, Walkman. You finally turned 40. Getting up on your way to over the hill. All right, let's get on over to today's feature story, shall we? All right, so feature story today. Well, Dr. Disrespect, he decides to, apologize for his actions at E3. E3, he wasn't apparently supposed to do something. And now we finally know why. There are a whole bunch of people all a-twitching, I guess if you want to call it that, who were either for or against this kind of behavior, and then they're upset at Twitch for how they responded to the whole entire thing, and I don't know. I figured I'd share a little bit of my thoughts on the entire thing. And in case you're wondering, hey, why do you have a shorter news segment? Why do you only have 3 articles today? Well, if you look, I only have 3 articles today because it's a little bit of a short week. So I have things that I have going on offline. So I wanted to cover the top 3 stories today. We'll be back to our normal format of roughly 7 or so next week. But Guy Beam, who streams on Twitch as the popular character Dr. Disrespect, has broken his silence on a controversial live stream incident during the E3 Expo in Los Angeles early last month that resulted in a multi-week ban from the platform. Breaking character in rare fashion, Beam posted a note to his dormant Twitter account in the form of a twit-longer post, the first tweet from the account since November of 2017. In the post, Beam apologizes for his actions and offers some insight into why the incident in which he and his cameraman filmed live in a men's bathroom took place. So, goes on to say, when we are talking and walking around filming at E3, we clearly weren't thinking about the laws or repercussions of filming in the bathroom because, honestly, it wasn't our time, in our frame of mind at the time. We were sort of all in with the doc livestream experience and capturing the E3 event through the character, Beam writes. We were so into the E3 IRL journey that we came, blind in what's okay and what's not okay. We had no intentions, and I feel that it was pretty obvious if you watched the entire thing. We wanted to capture an adventure. Unfortunately, we took that adventure into the wrong areas, unaware of the legality surrounding it. Well, and on behalf of the Dr. Disrespect brand, I apologize for this. Twitch has already reactivated Dr. Disrespect's account after what appears to have been a 2-week ban, and he's expected to return to full-time streaming soon. But until now, he hadn't commented on the situation, choosing instead to post satirical promotional videos to Dr. Disrespect Twitter account, hinting at the character's eventual return next week on July 8th. Meanwhile, the Twitch community have apparently been torn up about this, debating what Twitch's relatively light punishment means for the streamer community, as well as whether the company takes an active enough role in moderating the behavior of creators who both play video games live, and in the case of Beam's E3 incident, bring their characters into the real world in what are known in the community as IRL streams. Beam has been absent from those conversations, but the general consensus, even among ardent pro streamers from the community, is that Twitch risks abetting behavior like this by not handing down lengthier bans, commenting little or not at all in this decision-making, and by letting popular streamers benefit financially by staging big comebacks after controversial bans. So, first off, before you hear my thoughts, what do you think, good, bad, or otherwise, about this entire situation? Post your thoughts, ideas, whether you agree or disagree, down in the comment section below if you're watching the YouTube video of today's show. And if you're listening via podcast, you can actually click on over youtube.com/technewsgadget and watch the video there. But my thoughts on the matter, let me tell you this much. There are a lot of things that go on behind the scenes that none of us have any information to. And what's said behind the scenes, behind closed doors, and isn't made public light, the decisions made between parties should be respected. And maybe taken a little bit more seriously. Now, I understand Twitch had its rules in place, and he clearly violated those rules. I think he understood that. I think he also was kind of in character at the time, so he really wasn't thinking about the repercussions of this. This is commonly seen as a problem because you really don't see how it's a... It's like, well, break the rule first before I remember what the rule is, or I don't want to be any forward-thinking enough as it is to go, am I going to break any rules? Should I or should I not do this? I don't know. A men's bathroom, even from my standpoint, you're pushing it a little bit much. You don't need to see Dr. Disrespect walking into the bathroom doing stuff in there, even though it wasn't too much. It was mainly just other people were seen in the bathroom as well, and it's kind of an invasion of privacy, but it should have been almost obvious. But if you're in character, it's kind of hard to think about it that way if you're trying to become entertaining. So I guess to the streamers out there, just consider how much entertaining is going too far and seriously think about real world repercussions before you do said stupid thing. Because I guarantee you there's like a little twinge in your conscience in the back of your mind saying, don't do this. You know, you'll get a whole bunch of attention for it, sure, but don't do this. The other thing is, as far as I can tell, I believe, and I could be wrong, I think he actually is sorry for it. I don't think he did it deliberately, and he kind of reasserted that he didn't do it intentionally on purpose. He was in character at the time. He was having a good old time. He was just messing around. He didn't think about the repercussions of it until obviously afterward. So obviously he's going to be thinking about that because they probably made it serious in closed door conversations to him of how you get a slap on the wrist and we don't want to lose our biggest guy because that would also be a huge debacle. But we want to make it serious enough where he won't do it again. Fairly certain he probably won't do something stupid like this again. But this should also be a note to people out there who do IRL streams or, well, this has been going on Twitch for many, many years now. Don't go and break the rules or do stupid stuff just to go get attention, because usually the fallout surrounding that is worse than you actually doing said rule-breaking behavior. And usually the fallout will come to hurt you the most, but also indirectly the streaming community. So think about other people, and maybe if it feels wrong, don't do it, and you'll probably avoid a whole lot of stuff. I don't know, it's people tend to forget. Why don't you go and think before you go do something stupid, and then don't do it? So that's my thought on it, but I believe he's finally been taken care of, stuff behind the scenes. Dr. Disrespect will be back on July 8th, so I believe he's learned his lesson since then. He'll be going back to his normal streaming ways, and hopefully a little bit wiser. And this is something that we should also take to note in our own, if we're a streamer or not, or don't push a streamer if you happen to be watching them and you're subscribed to them to go do stupid stuff. Not saying that you would, but, you know, just be aware. And if you think you might be, I don't know, maybe go rally the group together in the chat room and say, hey, tell them not to do this, knock it off. And maybe you'll knock it off because a whole bunch of people will be looking at it and he'll be looking at it going, oh, maybe I shouldn't do this. So anyways, I probably said too much and I probably went around in circles and I didn't make a point and I confused you all. If I didn't, you know, could you help me sum up what I said? Be great. I'd appreciate it. Not necessarily, but I'd appreciate it. And with that out of the way, let's get on to the next story, shall we? All right, we got some gadget news today. I'm really excited to finally bring this to our attention. Scientists finally took an MRI scan of an atom. No idea how they did it. This comes to us from the New York Times, and I had to cover this because, well, typically hospital technology MRIs are used to identify human ailments. Captured perhaps the world's smallest magnetic resonance image. It's called an atom. Why couldn't you just said that? By the way, if you guys are wondering, you could always head on over to technewsgadget.net to get the show notes for all of today's articles that we covered on the show. So the article goes as follows. As our devices get smaller and more sophisticated, so do the materials we use to make them. That means we have to get up close to engineer new materials. Really close. Different microscopy techniques allow scientists to see the nucleotide by nucleotide genetic sequences in cells down to the resolution of a couple atoms, as seen in an atomic force microscopy image. But scientists at the IBM Almaden Research Center in San Jose, California, and the Institute for Basic Science in Seoul have taken imaging a step further, developing a new magnetic resonance imaging technique that provides unprecedented detail right down to the individual atoms of a sample. The technique relies on the same basic physics behind the MRI scans that are done in hospitals. So, obviously, to explain when MRIs are when doctors want to detect tumors, measure brain function, or visualize the structure of joints. They employ huge MRI machines, which apply a magnetic field across the human body, and then a subsequent brief pulse of radio frequency energy causes the protons to spin perpendicular to the pulse. and then you get the image, long story short. But to gather enough diagnostic data, traditional hospital MRIs must scan billions and billions of protons in a person's body. Christopher Lutz, a physicist at IBM, and his colleagues decided to pack the power of an MRI machine into the tip of another specialized instrument known as a scanning tunneling microscope to see if they could image individual atoms. And here it is. 4 MRI scans combined of a single titanium atom, showing the magnetic field of the atom at different strengths. That's pretty impressive. That's an atom we're looking at. Atoms. Tiny little atoms. You can't even see them with the human eye. Good luck. In case you're wondering, the tip of a scanning tunneling microscope is just a few atoms wide, and it moves along the surface of a sample, picking up details about the size and conformation of molecules. So essentially, they figured out how to do the whole entire thing and MRI scan it. Atoms. Pretty impressive. What does this mean? Well, ultimate way to miniaturization. He hopes the new technology could one day be used to design atomic scale methods of storing information for quantum computers. Oh, here we go back into quantum computers again. Remember, I was just talking about them dealing with time travel and teleporting information inside a diamond. In case you guys are missing all of these cool articles, we do the show basically every single day, Monday to Friday, and we cover some really, really interesting tech. So if you haven't already, go ahead and check that out. So, we can now see something we couldn't see before, Dr. Lutz said. So our imagination can go to a whole bunch of new ideas that we can test out with this technology. So pretty impressive. Great job there, guys. And finally, Google is, pushing for an official web crawler standard. You see, robot.txt has been around for 25 years now, and Google kind of wants to make it internet standard. One of the cornerstones of Google's business, and really the web at large, is a robots.txt file that sites use to exclude some of their content from the search engine's web crawler, Googlebot. It minimizes pointless indexing and sometimes keeps sensitive info under wraps. Google thinks its crawler tech can improve, though, so it's shedding some of its secrecy. The company is open sourcing the parser to use to decode robots.txt in a bid to foster a true standard for web crawling. Ideally, this takes much of the mystery out of how to decipher robots.txt files and will create more of a common format. Interesting. While the robots exclusion protocol has been around for a quarter of a century, it was only an unofficial standard, and that has created problems with teams interpreting the format differently. One might handle an edge case differently than another. Google's initiative, which includes submitting its approach to the Internet Engineering Task Force, would better define how crawlers are supposed to handle robots.txt and create fewer rude surprises. But while the draft isn't fully available, it would work with more than just websites, include a minimum file size, set a max one-day cache time, and give sites a break if there are server problems. Now, there's no guarantee this will become standard, at least as is. If it does, though, it could help web visitors as much as it does creators. Think of it this way. You might see more consistent web search results that respect sites' wishes. If nothing else, this shows that Google isn't completely averse to opening important assets if it thinks they'll advance both its tech and the industry at large. Or you just go the WordPress route and open source everything and create a nice whole ecosystem around the entire thing.
Did you ever think about that?
I'm just kidding. Google, do whatever you want, but this is a cool idea. At least so far as I think. If you don't think it's cool, well, websites are here to stay. And so I figure it's kind of important for you to know about this stuff so that you're at least familiar with it and it doesn't come to you as a surprise. And with that out of the way, that wraps up this episode of the latest in tech news. Thanks for tuning in, guys. New episodes every weekday, albeit shorter this week, and we'll be off Wednesday and Thursday. But rest assured, the latest in tech news can be found on every major platform, including Apple, Spotify, Google, YouTube, Stitcher, Overcast, and more. And we will be back in full, all articles, all the fun stuff that goes along with it. As well. Now, if you enjoyed this episode, let us know by clicking that like button and leaving a comment. Also, be sure to double check that you're subscribed so that you don't miss out. And right here, I want to pause and give a brief announcement. The podcast has been submitted to the Podcast Awards. So right now, listener nominations have opened up, and I'd really, really appreciate your guys going out and voting. We're trying to go for the tech category here. Podcast Awards is kind of like the Webbies. It's kind of like, I don't know, standing up on stage and people talking about what the coolest music was for this year or month or what hit the top charts and then handing out prizes. It's essentially what the Podcast Awards is, but for podcasters. And seeing as how this show has been going on for almost a year now, on and off, but more on than off, I'm excited. We're in the podcastawards.com listing, so you do have to register for an account. It's completely free, but you can go and nominate us for an award. We'd really appreciate it. Head on over to podcastawards.com, register for an account. We are in the technology category under the name Latest in Tech News. Obviously, that's the name of the show. Also, we have a community that we're starting up over at forum.technewsgadget.net. I'm figuring for now, for the time being, I would really love to have the community and people join in. We can talk about tech news and answer questions and, I don't know, just in general have a place to hang out and chat freely with one another, talking about cool tech, cool gadgets, cool video games, and the like, and you know, learning more about all the cool stuff that happens around the world. So forum.technewsgadget.net as well. I'm your host, Taylor Merrick. Remember, for the latest in tech, gadget, and gaming news, visit technewsgadget.net. Pretty much keeping awesome, guys, and I'll see you on the flip side.